was awesome. James B. Sullivan.
Mike Wazowski.
Welcome back. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and guess what we're going to do today? I'm going to go ahead and do a review of Monsters University, the latest from Pixar, and the latest, well, their last one was Brave, their next one up is The Good Dinosaur, I think? Yeah. Anywho, let's talk about Monsters University, but before we start on Monsters University, let me take a brief moment brief in my words, to talk about the trailers in front of the movie and the short film, The Blue Umbrella. The trailers in front of the film were, well, there's one for the abysmal Smurfs 2, which is a good audience reaction, but I am not in the audience for that film. To be fair, I never watched the first film, and I admit that movies like Stuart Little and Alvin and Chipmunks got better after viewing them a few times. Will I give Smurfs 2 a chance in theaters? No. Will I watch it someday on Netflix? Probably. I like Neil Patrick Harris. The trailer for Despicable Me 2 reaffirms my hopes for that movie, and the audience reaction to the Minions bodes well for Illumitoon. The trailer for Planes told me that I'm probably going to find it to be an amusing movie. I honestly enjoyed the original Cars because it had some depth to it. While Cars 2 gets some flack, I'll come out and say that Cars 2 was much more fun than Quantum Solace. I'm sorry, the best Bond spy action film that year had a tow truck as the main character. If you take it as what it is, a parody similar to the No One Lives Forever video game series, then it's obvious. Yeah, there are a lot of stereotypes in the Cars universe. Planes expands on that a few degrees as well. I mean, there's a Lucador plane. I'm okay with this. I don't expect it to be a masterpiece. I just expect it to be mildly funny and look good. Now, the trailer for Frozen revealed nothing about it. Instead, the worrisome, possibly annoying snowman character and the caribou were the main characters in a teaser trailer that feels more like those scratch shorts for Ice Age than a major Disney musical, which is what Frozen is. It's a musical. A major Disney musical with a Disney princess in it. But, hey, look at our snowman chasing after his nose. Yeah. Anyhow, I am cautiously optimistic on that one. An audience response was good. Now, there was a trailer for Turbo. Now, The Croods was really good, but had awful trailers. Epic was gorgeous, terrible trailers. But Epic deserves to have a ton of fans. I mean, if you liked Rise of the Guardians, go see Epic. It's good, and you'll probably like it as much or even more than Rise of the Guardians. Epic is a bit of an unsung movie. Some odd character designs plague both Epic and the Croods, but both are really good. Trust me on this, they're good. Now, Turbo doesn't look too good to me. We have awkward humans a la Rio and Ryan Reynolds trying to channel Owen Wilson from Cars. That said, the director and the screenplay writers are known mostly for The Wrestler. And, yeah. Well, this could be funny, or it could be awful. I don't know. I mean, if it's a bit of a parody of things like, I don't know, Drive, The Fast and the Furious, or Speed Racer, I might be okay with it. I do have to say that I am a bit concerned that there's already a Netflix exclusive show based on this film set to debut in December. The kids in the audience appear to like it. I'm just, like the Smurfs too, I am not the target audience. I can't wait for this to hit Netflix, though, because that is probably where I will watch it. Now, The Blue Umbrella, the short film in front of Monsters University, is really pretty. I mean, The concept of it makes me think of another short film called Johnny Fedora and Alice Blue Bonnet from the Disney package film Make Mine Music. The concept is cute, and the use of realistically rendered objects is endearing. There is, however, a bit of peril in the film that younger kids might be uncomfortable with. There were some audible gasps of shock in the theater. I know this because I was pretty stunned myself. Unlike Paper Man, which is cute without peril, the Blue Umbrella is fairly dark. No kids crying in the theater, but I don't think many of them quite grasped what happened in the short film. With Paper Man, I felt that it would be worth the price of admission. I felt Paper Man was worth the price of the admission alone, and luckily for me, it was attached to Wreck-It Ralph, which was really good. And, I think The Blue Umbrella is a film that you need to see. If you appreciate the independent spirit of animation, I mean, if you need to see this, it kind of reminds me a bit of One Rat Short or The Eternal Gaze or Bunny. It was really good. It was gorgeous too. I mean, it looked almost live action, but it's not. I was really impressed with it. But yeah, it reminded me of like One Rat Short, Bunny, or The Eternal Gaze, all of which are masterpieces of CGI animation. And you cannot call yourself a animation student or a lover of animation if you haven't seen One Rat Short or The Eternal Gaze or Bunny. Look those up on YouTube. They're worth checking out. The Eternal Gaze is essential. I think people need to see it. It is right up there with some of the stuff. Oh, what is the name of that group of brothers? They did I'll remember their name after this is over with. But yeah, it's worth seeing. The Blue Umbrella is really great, and it was a great way to settle down the theater, I guess is the best way to put it, before the main attraction. Now, the main attraction was Monsters University. How was Monsters University? Well, there are three types of films that critics hate. Reboots, sequels, and prequels. As a critic, I love original work, but I also see merit in those three kinds of films. Out of the three, a prequel is the hardest to do successfully. Monsters Incorporated is a fine film with a clever concept. The first film's concept is that the monsters under your bed or in your closet are just as scared of you as you are of them. They just need you to be scared because your fear powers their homes, cars, cities, and everyday life. Without you being afraid, they can't operate. They can't live. The plot of the first movie is that a child accidentally gets into the monster world, and the two main characters, James B. Sullivan and Mike Wazowski, have to return the child to her family. The problem with the prequel is that the concept of the first film is a bit slim. So how do you do a prequel to Monsters Incorporated? Well, first thing you do is find a few questions from the first film that may be left unanswered, and then find a good central place to start the story that could effectively answer those questions. Now, the first film is more about James P. Sullivan and Boo. You're given more insight into Sully than you are for Mike, Randall, and the other characters in the movie. Mike is just a sidekick character in the first film. He's comedic relief. There's no real reason for the two characters to be friends. I mean, Sully and Mike are kind of an odd couple looking thing. There's no reason for them to be friends. None. There are also some very nagging questions that Monsters Incorporated doesn't answer for the sake of a speedy narrative. Some of the questions that Monsters University answers, though, are as follows. 1. Why are James and Mike friends? You need to watch this film to understand that, and I think it's put through beautifully here. 2. What is the general structure of the monster world? In the first film, I had a real problem with, The first film makes it appear like there's only one monopolistic power company called Monsters Incorporated, where everyone gets their scare energy from. This is kind of revealed, just kind of a side note. There are actually several. Monsters Incorporated is just the largest. 3. Why does Randall hate Sullivan so much? Well, this one actually requires watching Monsters University and then thinking a little bit more about Randall's situation. They really made his character much more fleshed out. In Monsters Incorporated, he's a bit of a stooge. He's just kind of there. He's mean with no real purpose for being mean. Just nasty with no real purpose for it. He doesn't have a motivation. He doesn't. But going through Monsters University, you understand his motivation in Monsters Incorporated a bit more, and you understand that it's actually kind of tragic. 4. Who had the original all-time scare record? Yeah. 5. Where are the doors made? 6. When did James and Mike actually meet? 7. How does the flow of time actually work in between the two worlds, the monster world and the human world? Actually, they kind of answer that one offhand in Monsters Incorporated, and it's interesting to know. Because, like, with Monsters, Inc., there is certain stuff you just kind of had to accept. And here in Monsters University, if you're paying attention, and this is why I can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray, because I'll pause at spots and read, because, like, well, they kind of answer that. They really give a fairly definitive answer to that. But I'm not going to tell how. I'm not going to tell you how. Because spoilers. Anyways, there's a bunch of little stuff too that gets answered. Monsters University adds new layers of paint to the simplistic story of the first film. I would say that the addition of Monsters University makes some parts of Monsters Incorporated, which were just silly or even tedious, stand out as relevant or significant in a greater story arc. The best thing that a prequel can do is to make the original film better. We think about it, episodes 1, 2, and 3 hurt episodes 4, 5, and 6, and that was the most grievous sin, the most general grievous sin that they committed. If you make a prequel, and you make a bad prequel, you're going to hurt the rest of your franchise. And this is not a bad prequel. No, this makes the original film better. Monsters University makes me like the characters more because it exists. Also, this movie is gorgeous. I've already said that before about the Blue Umbrella, but wow. This is a really pretty movie. The jokes are pretty funny. Some of the awkward humor works well in the context of the film. I can't go back to jail! It's going to get more laughs out of adults than it will children. The nice twists and turns the plot takes are excellent. The film takes what I liked about the Harry Potter movies and adds it to the monsters world in a very effective way. What I love about Harry Potter is Hogwarts. The idea of a school of wizarding and magic is awesome. The idea of a school where monsters study how to scare children is pretty great. And the way it is presented is superb. The film has interesting enough twists and turns and moments to it to make an excellent use of your theater time. I saw it in 2D, so I have no comments on how the 3D was used in the film. Looking at my notes, I think you should go see Monsters University. I personally prefer it to Monsters Incorporated. I found that it made the first film stronger. There were a lot of great moments, and honestly, there are some spots in the human world that just blew me away at how fantastic they look. I really went away from the film liking the characters much more than I did with Monsters Incorporated, especially Mike. Mike in the first film is just kind of there and kind of an idiot. In this film, we get to see him more competent, more stressed, much more bold. He's much, 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 much more likable this time around. Also, the film is still about fear. The first film used fear as a plot device to push an overt message about alternative energy, which was coupled with a two monsters and a toddler style plot. This film uses fear as a driving force of character interactions. We have a fear of rejection, failure, being forgotten, being unseen. We have genuine terror at possibly life-threatening circumstances. We have a fear of the future. In a way, the main characters learn to overcome their fears so that they can become better instruments for using fear. Then they discover a way around that fear for a brighter future in Monsters, Inc. There is nothing in this film that can be construed as political in any way. Also, the characters mature in this film in a way that is satisfying. None of the characters are dead weight, and the film never feels too long. Now, kids tend to chatter in movies, and this did detract from a few scenes in the film. I honestly can't wait to get this film on 3D Blu-ray because I want to see the 3D effect in my own home without kids roaring along with the characters or asking questions during dramatic sequences. So yeah, I would give Monsters University an A. I recommend seeing it in theaters a half dozen times. I'm your host, Philip Wesley. This has been the Animation is Art Audio Experience, part of Radio DMG. And good night.
For this my whole life.
I'm gonna be a scarer!
Okay, everyone, I'll be giving you your orientation on this perfect day!
Hey, 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 come join the improv club! Oh, man, I can't be late on the first day!
Wazowski, room 319. You know, your roommate is a scaring major, too.
RJ, come here, boy!
Uh-oh. Whoa!
That was awesome. James P. Sullivan.
Mike Wazowski.
Well, now that we've been introduced...
You don't think I'm scary.
You're not even in the same league with me.
Your hands are as big as my face.
That is crazy.
Jet, calm down.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to scare circles around you this year.
You got to be kidding me.
Oh, scary.
Have fun, kids. I'll just be here listening to my tunes.
The answer is C.
Ebola spiders.
Correct.
I am going to wipe the floor with that little know-it-all.
Scariness is the true measure of a monster.
Don't go in there. It's dangerous.
Open the door.
What are you doing up there? I can't go back to jail! Come on, go!
Seatbelts!
Okay, go!
Does anyone want gum?
Just drop!
He's like a mountain with fur!
I don't even work out.
Yeah, me neither. I don't want to get too big.